In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, it's Lent. So this is a true and embarrassing confession from my youth. When I was in middle school, I begged my mother to buy me a Star Trek uniform. It was going to be red like Captain Picard. It was going to be glorious. And thank God she said no. It was probably because she didn't want to spend the money, but she also probably said no to save me from myself and the social turmoil that would surely follow. You see, I've always been obsessed with space, and not just the fictional accounts. The last time I went to see a show at the Hayden Planetarium in New York City, I was overwhelmed with all that we have learned about the universe and how much we still don't know. So this show was all about the parts of the universe we can observe and the mysterious unseen forces called dark matter. Basically, the gist of the show was this. We can know a lot by what we can see, but we can't see the whole, only pieces. There's still so much we haven't figured out about how the universe works. Here's a quote from the show. Wherever you are, it looks as if you're at the center of the universe and everyone else is speeding away. But there is no center of the universe. We all see our own piece and never the whole. Each galaxy has its own perspective. It's a different piece of the puzzle. But no one can ever see the whole picture of the universe from where they are in it. So this just isn't science. This is important in theology as well. In our attempts at understanding God, we try as hard as we might, can never see or understand the totality of God. Impossible. We're lucky if we get a glimpse, if we find a small piece of that infinite puzzle. We can surmise and contemplate, study and pray, but just as there's no center of the universe, there's no way to have a complete understanding of the divine. To quote the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, while it is good that we seek to know the Holy One, it's probably not so good to presume that we ever complete the task. This is often why Jesus uses parables to speak to his followers. He knows that people can more easily digest the ways of God if they're put in the form of human relational stories. Like looking up at the stars, Jesus is not giving us the whole picture, but a piece of the divine universe. And as you just heard read, the prodigal son is a universe in and of itself. So I'm going to make the argument that there's no right or wrong son in this parable, but that the story of each of them is a piece or clue about the totality of God's love. Both brothers are blinded by their own perception about how the world should work and their place in it. The older son looks out and sees loyalty as the center of his universe. He stays on family land, he works the fields, he tends to what is his father's, but will one day belong to him. For that son, the family and the property seem to be the center of his universe, and he doesn't need to see or know much beyond his small piece of the world. Of course, the younger brother, the prodigal son, has a completely different perspective. He sees his inheritance as his way out. He takes his cut and hits the road to a distant land, a place far from everything he's ever known. He abandons his family, he makes bad choices, and he squanders what has been freely given to him. Eventually, he returns home to beg forgiveness and start again with nothing. So each son thought that their lives and their choices were paramount. They didn't stop to think that they weren't seeing the whole picture. In particular, the younger son's choices and viewpoint are a direct affront to that of his older brother. The older brother sees his inheritance as sacred, to be nurtured and kept safe. But he's so laser-focused that he loses his ability to see anything beyond his own life, his own rules, and how to perfectly connect the dots. The younger brother just sees inheritance as a means to an end, a way to start living his life. His viewpoint is skewed by impatience and instability and the need to have it all now without the pressure of time or authority. So I would argue that both sons squander what they have been given by their father because their viewpoints are so narrow and so very human. Do you see yourself in either one of these characters? Or more to the point, do you see yourself in both? Haven't we all at some point wasted opportunities that have been given to us or at times focused too much on what we have and too little on anyone or anything else? Don't we have moments of resentment and bitterness at people who seem to get everything they want without working as hard as we do? So today's parable begs the question, is life all that has been earned or all that has been given? There's a lot left unresolved. We don't get a happy ending. We don't get a reunion between the brothers. We don't know if the younger brother is coming home because he's sincere or desperate or both. We don't know if the older son eventually went to his brother's homecoming celebration or became even more determined to stick to his worldview that life is about rules and systems that can't be broken. We only see a small piece of their lives and not the whole. Only God sees the whole. We, on the other hand, sometimes just see what is right in front of us. But we are in the season of Lent where we have to look at our lives and sometimes see things we don't want to see. After all, we started this season with Ash Wednesday, which emphasizes the fragility of our lives and calls us to remember that we are dust and to dust we shall return. That life is both terribly fragile and immeasurably sacred. That sacred fragility is why the father runs to the prodigal son when he sees him. He doesn't think about the son's mistakes or abandonment. He doesn't even know why his son has returned, and he doesn't care. All he sees is that his child is walking toward him, and he responds by running to meet him, ready to offer love without any concern about where he has been or what he has done. This moment in the story is where we get our glimpse of the divine. Because this life can hurt and wound us, and we can hurt and wound each other. So I find great comfort in knowing that if we are limping toward God, hurt and broken, that God runs to meet us and welcome us home. Lent is about recognizing our own sacred fragility. And sometimes the best way to do that is to look beyond our lives and see the world from someone else's point of view. Looking at another person's life and hearing their story might just give us a bigger glimpse of the whole. I was thinking about another set of brothers recently and their very unique life story that gives them a perspective that few of us will ever experience. Twins Mark and Scott Kelly spent 1 year in a study that compared Mark's year on Earth to his brother Scott's year aboard the International Space Station. They both saw the beauty and the fragility of the Earth from vastly different perspectives. Scott from above saw the wonder and incomprehensible beauty of creation, of the only identified planet that can sustain everything and everyone we've ever known. But he also saw the damage that we've done, the pollution of the earth by human hands, and how fragile this planet and our lives on it really are. Although an astronaut himself, Mark Kelly stayed on the ground that year and saw the earth from the perspective of his own lived experience. He saw all the beauty and kindness that we can offer one another, as well as the damage and destruction that hate and anger can make manifest. In his own life, on a daily basis, he sees how his wife, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, continues living with unimaginable strength and courage after a man shot her in the head because of his own hate and mental illness. Mark Kelly saw up close and personal what people could do to one another and the sacred fragility of a life that persevered. Perhaps looking at the earth from within through our relationships, and looking at the earth from above as a small piece of a vast universe is as close as we can get to seeing the whole. We can never gain the perspective of our Creator, but we can strain our eyes and our hearts to see more. The brothers in the parable of the prodigal son might not have ever seen eye to eye, but they were both seen and loved by their Father as we are by God. So I pray that, fragile and small as we are within this vast universe, that when we walk toward God, He still runs to meet us. Amen.